It's 4 p.m. Immediately after the close of our last episode, as in the office of District Attorney Frederick Apt.
My secretary is ringing her now. Sit down with her.
This is okay.
Hello.
Miss Fasina, this is the district attorney.
Oh, hello, Mr. Apt. I was just going to call you. You said to let you know if I leave town. Well, I want to.
Do you, Miss Fasina?
Yeah. I'm going to take a couple of weeks off and go to the shore. Maybe I'll fly to Bermuda.
Miss Fasina, have you forgotten you'll be my chief witness at a trial for murder?
Huh?
It'll interest you to know I'm almost ready to ask for an immediate trial date. I'm ready to proceed, largely on the basis of your testimony against Miss Beekman. Now, these are grave matters.
I know that.
And now you tell me you want to go away.
Wait a minute, Mr. Apt. Give me a chance to explain. I'm just glad to get out of town for a while. Any place, I don't care. When Gordy, Mr. Weber, got killed, it hit me awful hard.
Oh.
You know how I loved him. Maybe you can guess what I've been going through.
Well, of course, but you see why you must remain on hand.
Oh, yes, sir. Is the trial going to be right away?
Well, I haven't quite decided.
Can you fix it to happen now?
Probably. However, there are, various factors to weigh. I want to have a talk with you.
Why?
Well, there are certain aspects of your testimony in regard to Miss Beekman which... Well, we'll discuss it.
Well, whatever you say, Mr. Apt. But why?
Well, don't you want to talk to me?
No, I'll be glad to see you. But there's nothing I can tell you.
Well, then we'll discuss what you have told me.
Yes, sir. But I can tell you now I won't change anything, Mr. Apt. I told you the truth. Well, you can't change the truth.
No, you can't. However, we'll have a little talk, eh?
Okay. I come to your office?
No, I'll be out until, suppose I come to your place. Is that all right, say, in an hour or so?
I'll be expecting you. Goodbye.
So she wants to take off, hmm?
Not exactly, Alverson. Miss Fasina wanted to get away from painful associations. Weber's death grieved her.
Oh?
But she wants to see justice done.
So do I.
And so do I, Lieutenant. I'll check Miss Fasina's testimony again, just to make certain. But, Lieutenant, I've been thinking. At first, when you told me you planted a policewoman in the cell next to Kate Beekman's, and that your scheme backfired...
Backfired how?
But instead of the policewoman getting Beekman's confidence, Beekman wormed her way into the sergeant's sympathy.
You know Mary Moriarty's hard to fool.
Then, say Beekman didn't deceive her.
Hmm?
For the sake of argument, say Kate Beekman is a sympathetic, appealing girl. That's all you've said, Lieutenant.
That's a lot.
Is it? Well, I'll grant she's almost a good girl. That 99 times out of 100, she is a sweet, nice young lady.
Mr. Ash.
Now, wait a minute. If that be true, if she's a good girl most of the time, why, then Moriarty's judgment and yours is understandable. But one rotten apple spoils the barrel, Lieutenant.
She's not a barrel of apples.
The analogy applies. Her heart can't be pure if she's stained with the crime of murder. And I believe she is.
But you will...
I'll speak to Miss Fasina. But I'm going to tell you something. If Fasina's story stands up, I'm going ahead.
What's the hurry?
Perry Mason. I know Mason's moving heaven and earth to find a loophole for her to wiggle out of.
So what? You've got a strong case.
As it stands.
What's Mason up to?
I can only guess.
What's the other angle?
Angle? No real angle, Lieutenant, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if Mason weren't digging into Weber's past.
For what?
Oh, there's nothing pertinent, I'm sure. However, it's possible Mason might throw up a smoke screen.
All right, that's the smoke, but where's the fire?
I wouldn't concern myself in that connection, Lieutenant.
You know something I don't, Mr. Apt. What is it?
You misunderstood, Lieutenant. I don't know anything. I merely explained what Mason might be doing.
Oh. You talked as if there were another lead that you hadn't told me about.
Now, Lieutenant, if there were anything pertinent, of course I'd tell you. Now then, I'll see Miss Fasina.
You want me to go along?
It won't be necessary. I'll phone you.
I'll be at my sister's place.
Well, then, tomorrow.
No, let me know after you've talked to Fasina.
Very well, Lieutenant. And remember, it's true, nice girls don't commit murder. So, if an apparently nice girl does take a life, well, the conclusion is obvious. As I said, it takes only one rotten apple to spoil...
Yes, I'll remember that.
And this, too. If I decide Fasina has told the truth, then I'm almost certain she has. Then I'm going to beat Mason to the punch. I'll speak to you later, Lieutenant.
Well, as we're about to learn, Perry Mason's efforts on behalf of the innocent girl could well pay off. There is another line of investigation, and Private Detective Paul Drake is following that line on orders from Mason. At this moment, Mr. Drake enters a second-rate nightclub, goes to the dance floor, where the chorus is listlessly running through a routine, and...
Hey, Professor, tell Ruby I want to see her.
Not a chance.
Maybe this will change your mind, huh?
You convinced me. All right, girls, take five. Hey, Ruby, drive over here. Guy wants to see you.
Yeah.
Are you Ruby?
Maybe. I don't know you.
Oh, just call me Little Joe from Chicago, huh?
Look, Buster, I don't care where you're from.
No, baby.
What do you want?
Just talk, beautiful.
You're in the wrong lane, Joe.
Well, the man sent me down this turnpike.
Go tell the man to get another road map.
Wait a minute, Precious. $20 says you'll talk to me.
Let's see.
There you are. And I got his big brothers in my pocket.
Okay, Joe. You said talk, so talk.
I'm in the car business. I'm trying to get located here in town.
Why come to see me?
Well, the man tells me you know some people used to be in the business.
Who talks?
Money talks.
Well?
I understand there was a guy very active in the business at one time, only he had trouble. Had a little trouble with a knife. You ever hear of Gordy Weber?
I read the papers.
Well, I came all the way here to see Weber, only I was too late. Only maybe I'm not, if you know what I mean.
No.
Weber knew a lot of guys in the business. I've even heard he was part of a big outfit.
Do tell.
I'm in the market for cars.
Stolen heat?
I'm not choosy, dear. Gordy Weber had contacts. Maybe you can put me on the right road.
Why'll I do that, good looking? Tell me why.
Can you use another 20?
Try me.
Okay.
You want to see Junior.
Who?
Junior. That's all. Junior.
You say so. Where?
Junior's in Baltimore. Come back tonight and maybe I'll have word.
Well, I'm in a hurry, sweetheart.
Don't spin your wheels, Joe. I'll see you tonight.
Okay, Doyle, hit it now. One, a two, hit it!
Just a second. Paul Drake, Perry. I got a nibble.
All right.
Yeah, she's a girl Frank Riley says was in the outfit. She's only a minnow, but she's acquainted with one of the bigger fish. Five will get you 10, the big fish knew Weber.
Who?
And called Junior. Junior's out of town, Baltimore. The girl can fix up a meet with him.
All right, when?
Probably a day or so, maybe three.
No.
Well, hit it from the other end?
Yeah, it's worth a try.
Okay, I'll fly down.
No, you stick with, what's her name?
No, Ruby.
Well, send a good man down to pick up what he can. We'll coordinate through Maury Cohen in your office.
Right. Anything else?
Yes, possibly, if she has enough time.
Who?
Kate Beekman. Don Halverson is on the fence.
What?
Don likes Katie.
Well, so do I. She's a nice kid. Hey! Really likes her?
Maybe. I could be wrong, but, well, you see why time is important.
Right. I'll speak to you this evening.
Well, at this point in time, it looks as if Perry Mason will earn the time he must have to save an innocent girl from tragedy. But we'll hear a startling and unexpected development tomorrow. So by all means, join us, won't you?